Good morning. Good morning to the Klebuzak tribes of eastern Utah. Good morning to the Wolf Kings of Colorado. Good morning to the submarine freaks of Sector 3 and the Hindenburg fanatics of Sector 22. It's August the 5th, 2021, in the age of Bo Blimpdog. In the age of Bo Blimpdog, all the temperatures read 29 degrees. Liquid Kelvin. In the age of Bo Blimpdog, your cocaine is half price. That's right, brothers and sisters, as of this recording, it is August the 5th, 2021, in the time of Bo Blimpdog. It is just after 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time here in Utah. But if you're listening on shortwave radio, this might be 5950 kilohertz. This might be WRMI out of Miami Okeechobee. This might be Saturday night, Sunday night, between 11 p.m. and midnight Eastern Standard Time. And if you have a shortwave receiver, transmitter, or even just a receiver, after this show, whether it's Saturday or Sunday night, from midnight to 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 to 5 a.m. UTC, on 7235 kilohertz, lower sideband, 40 meters, we will be conducting the Agorist Emergency Network. For more information on the Agorist Emergency Network, you can go to dfgtc.org/AEN. That's Delta Foxtrot Golf Tango Charlie.org/AEN or Alpha Echo November. I should have said I spell Alpha Echo November. And the purpose of this network is quite simple. It is to allow amateur, licensed, and unlicensed radio operators to test their shortwave transceivers in case of an emergency. For emergency purposes, you are allowed to use the shortwave. I'm going to repeat this. In an emergency, you can use the shortwave. You should follow discipline. You should study up on it. If you want to learn more, I will refer you to an expert. You can email me, that's M-E, or Mike Echo. I should have said I spell Mike Echo, at imsully.com. You email me, and I will connect you with someone who can help you out, help you get set up with a shortwave transceiver set, antenna system, and even DC power supply with solar panels and help you figure out a budget. And you might be surprised at how little you'd have to pay. And if you had to pay the real price, and let's emphasize this point, because so many of you deflation technology fanatics use this one data point to screw with us. If you had to pay full price for your mobile smart device, for the mobile phone you just got for 50 bucks, and you'll be paying taxes to God knows who for the rest of that contract. If you had to pay full price for your mobile device, newsflash, it would probably cost as much as buying a shortwave transceiver set. Yeah. But I got all this convenience, Dan. I got all these apps, and I now have a vaccine app. You know, the great thing about a shortwave transceiver set is that there are no apps. There would never be, excuse me, a vaccine app. So if you're listening out there and you're interested, tune into 7235 kilohertz, lower sideband, 40 meters, Saturday and Sunday night, 4 to 5 a.m. UTC, midnight to 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can test your equipment, and to be blunt, I don't think the FCC has the resources to do anything, but for purposes of an emergency, you have the right to test this equipment. You don't need a license to get help in an emergency. Now, we are becoming like the Soviet Union. So like on the first day of Barbarossa, where Red Army officers had to call headquarters and ask permission to shoot the Germans, we are getting to that point where, yeah, even that which is not described might be illegal. But here's the deal. As of right now, if there is an emergency, you are allowed to use any tool you need to use to save your life and to save the lives of people you love. And if you don't think the government gives you that right, I can tell you Jesus Christ does. So if you don't want to trust the government, trust God. Because God gave you the right to protect yourself and the people you love right at the moment you were born. So tune in. Midnight to 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 a.m. to 5 a.m. UTC, 7235 kilohertz, net control call sign is Dr. Freckles, and test your radios prior to an emergency. Gee whiz, we got all kinds of gun nuts who say, you should go shoot 3,000 rounds per month. We'll be covering that next. Isn't it funny how little conversation about talking to each other once everything goes sideways? It's funny how little conversation. Oh, but Dan, the internet, no. You're living in a crack cocaine paradise. I am 51 years old. When I was born, there was a DARPANET. It was tiny. There was a connection between the University of Illinois Champlain and a couple other places with 56K when I was born. But the internet as we know it did not exist when I was born, okay? I didn't have my first internet account until I was 28 years old. A lot of you youngins aren't even 28 yet, if you're listening to me, I doubt it. So if the question is, how can we live without the internet? The better question is, how did you get suckered into believing you could not live without it? That's a better question, buddy. In this neo-Stalinist sideways hellhole, the powerlessness is better. First topic is what I call a good news story for 2021, Bo Blimp Doc. This one is from March 2021. Headline, and if you want to look at the link to find the headline, the link for the news article I'm about to read, and you're listening on shortwave radio. This article was published by the Daily News on March the 15th, 2021. The author is Teresa Brain of the New York Daily News. And the headline is, Bait and Switch, Fish Fraud Rampant Worldwide, New Study Shows. Wow, that's bad. That's really bad. And yeah, if you're listening on shortwave radio, the notes for this broadcast are available at dfgtc.org/show notes. Pick the right date of the right broadcast you were listening to. Do your GMT UTC conversion if need be. Transport yourself in a time tunnel. And then pick the right notes for the right date. If you don't know how to use a calendar, I don't know what to say. I'm sorry. Public schools, period. But once again, the headline is Bait and Switch, Fish fraud rampant worldwide, new study shows. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Let's read on. Cheap shark labeled as more expensive species. Shrimp balls made of pork. And a scallop bait and switch. Seafood fraud is rampant worldwide. Recent analysis in more than 30 countries. Recent analysis in more than 30 countries found that 36% of seafood studied was mislabeled, according to a new Guardian Seascape survey. Researchers combed 44 recent studies of more than 9,000 seafood samples from restaurants, fish stores, supermarkets. Glaring examples surfaced of a 2018 study in which nearly 70% of the supposed snapper sold throughout the UK were actually from 38 other species, including some possibly endangered reef-dwelling species, The Guardian found. The Guardian was careful to note that the results did not mean that a third of all seafood worldwide is mislabeled. Only certain species were analyzed. For instance, meaning it is inaccurate to conclude that 36% of all global seafood is necessarily mislabeled, The Guardian said. Likewise, the studies all had different methodologies and samples. Nor are fish always deliberately mislabeled, although the huge majority of substitutions involve lower-priced fish replacing higher-priced ones, indicating fraud rather than carelessness. Some things are mistakenly mislabeled, The Guardian found. But it's harder to make that case for other situations in which a variety would be marketed as another high-priced species. The multifaceted and non-transparent global seafood supply chain leaves numerous openings for fraud, The Guardian found. So too does seafood illiteracy. And compounding the issue is that on the other side of the pond, at least, many people don't know what they're buying, wrote two researchers from Liverpool, John Moores University in England. Marine biodiversity professor Stefano Mariani, whatever, and research assistant and PhD student at the University of Salford, Marine Coosa, asked 720 people from the UK, Ireland, Belgium, Spain, Italy, Greece to identify six commercial fish species from photos. And I quote, "People from Spain perform the best, with an average accuracy score of 38%. And a little over two species guess correctly," the pair wrote in the conversation. The UK respondents did the worst, with an average accuracy score of 18%, and just over one species correctly identified on average. Most of the participants in our study struggled to identify even cod and salmon, in a few cases, throughout wild guesses such as goldfish. Wow. I'm going to stop here. I'm going to stop here and let you go to dfgtc.org/shownotes, and you can click on the link if you pick the right date, and you can read the rest of the article about the fish fraud. Now here's a question for my amateur Sovietologists listening. For those out there who understand that much, maybe most of the media is garbage propaganda at this point, here's a question. Do you think the story is true? Now, You might say, well, Dan, I thought everything was lies. It's not really that simple. If there's a truth that some manipulator can use against you, they'll use the truth. In fact, they love to use truths against you because it allows them to deceive you in a deeper, more powerful way. All right? It just really does. It's a great technique to find a truth, a thing that is true, a thing that is honest, and then use it for your campaign out of context. And our government does that, the media does that, the system does that. So the question is, do you think the story is true? I, for one, having grown up around the Puget Sound and then returned home multiple times, you know, in the last few decades, I, for one, think the story could be true. I don't know what's going on. I feel as if we're going to find out pretty soon. I don't know what's going on, but it does seem like the oceans are pretty well trashed in a lot of cases. And from talking to people that I know who fish for salmon, it seems like the salmon stocks are pretty impacted. And, you know, you say, well, they're just moving because of La Nina or El Nino or some other kind of made up weather crap, which, again, could be a real thing. But how much of it do you trust? Okay, if you're one of these people who says the government lies to you, do you parse that and then find little truths you trust? I think this story could be 100% fear porn. This story could be another one of those stay home, stay home, stay home, and die. Since March of 2020, there has been one common message for every military psychological warfare operation they've done, whether it's the commies and Ian Miles Wrong and Andy No Clue, or the Russian crap, or all the gender BS, you name it. Pick any of the psyops, to include the mother of all psyops, the COVID monkey herpes, which we're now up to what? Lambda variant? On our way to what? Chi or Psi or some other crazy variant? Omni variant, the Alpha and the Omega variant. Where's Charlton Heston? Yeah, where is he? He's dead. We have been exposed to multiple military psychological warfare operations. And the basic message of every single PSYOP, and it's one of the clues it is a PSYOP, is the same. Stay home. Don't talk to people. Don't travel. Don't communicate. Don't even talk to your kids. If they're telling you to wear masks at home, they're basically saying, don't even communicate with people in your own home. All right, the basic message of all these psyops is the same. Stay at home and die. I don't know why they're doing this. I mean, we can all hypothesize, but they're telling you, you go to the subway, the fish you eat might not be fish. Oh, you're going to go to that new restaurant where they sell cod? It might be mungus fish. It could be from Russia. It could have poison. It could be from China. It killed little kids. You just don't know, so don't go out to that restaurant. You can trust Jeff Bezos. Just go ahead and order an Omaha steak surf and turf gumbo box from Warehouse 89. Next topic, and rightly so. So here's a quote from Dr. Freckles, and I'm going to quote him, and it's going to sound like the quote is not related, but we're going to quote Dr. Freckles. If your ideal shot takes too long, if your perfect shot takes too long, if it takes you 10 minutes to aim your rifle perfectly, you're dead. You're dead. You're dead. You're dead. You're dead. You're dead. There are variants of this, and there have been studies on this whole subject. There was a guy by the name of Boyd, Colonel John Boyd, but he was an Air Force colonel who studied MIG and Sabre combat encounters. I think it's the MiG-15 and the F-86 Sabre encounters over Korea during the Korean War. And what did Colonel Boyd figure out? You can have the best weapon in the world. You can have the most accurate aim group in the world. You might be the sniper Bobiper that kills all the raccoons. But if you take too long to decide, you're dead. Dead, 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 dead. The MiG-15 had a better performance envelope. The MiG-15 could fly faster. The MiG-15 had a lot of great features, but it had really, really crappy avionics. And that difference, the fact that the F-86 Sabres had better avionics, and frankly, their pilots were probably trained to, you know, fly better, so to speak, to be better at their jobs, but they definitely had better avionics. The F-86 could do things faster. It could come to a firing solution faster. It could get its guns on target faster. And all things being equal, this was the edge. A lot of folks on Twitter and Facebook will post their shot groups. I have no idea if this is true. A lot of people on Facebook and Twitter will post their rifles and their cases of rifles. I have no way of verifying if this is true. A lot of people will go to the range and show you the shooting they did. They won't show you their face, but what they will do, friendly to the NSA and CIA spy satellite since 1995, bo blimp doc, what they will do is show you the silhouette of the background where they're shooting, including the silhouette of their front yard somewhere in the southwest. That narrows it down, jackass. A lot of people will post a lot of gun porn, hoo-wah nonsense on Twitter and Facebook. And they'll tell you, if you don't fire 500 rounds a month, you're dead. They'll tell you, if you don't have a perfect shot group, you're dead. They'll tell you, if you don't have perfect abs or you're not working out 25 hours a day, you're dead. What I'm telling you is the first person to make a decision to act lives, probably. All things being equal. The world is not perfect. Here's another fun fact from Uncle Dan. Most people are not Rambo. Most people are not Green Beret. If you knew how few people are properly trained for the really high-speed crap you see in movies, if you understood how few people in the military or police departments are properly trained for that, you would probably be less afraid. But instead, you want to believe all the porn from the movie. Most people are not Rambo. It is well studied, in fact, that most people don't want to kill. This is actually a good thing. It is. It really is. I'm not saying it's good that you might be able to do it, but knowing that most people don't want to means you can. It doesn't mean you will, but you can have an advantage. But here's the deal, folks. One of the significant things in the history of firearms was that you didn't need to be a knight training 12 hours a day, capable of wearing 400 pounds of armor to kill somebody. You didn't have to be an archer that really was a highly skilled combat role to kill somebody. In fact, by the 19th century, by the late 19th century, any schmuck with a Colt 45 could kill a whole bunch of people. The history of firearms is not the history of knights getting guns and then telling the plebs and the peasants, don't you dare get a gun unless you can train 24 hours a day. No, the history of firearms is it equalizes. Not perfectly. Nothing's perfect. But it's an equalizer. So if you hear somebody on Twitter and Facebook say you can't really own a gun unless you're willing to shoot 500 rounds a day or a week or some kind of bullshit number they pulled out of their crooked syphilis butthole, you need to understand that's bullshit. Yes, You should train as much as you can. Yes, you should have the best firearm you can use and afford and properly train with. But all things being equal, if you're up against somebody and you're willing to act first, you have a better chance of winning. All things being equal, if you're up against somebody and you're willing to look for a weapon, any weapon, and brothers and sisters, how do I phrase this? I'm going to tell you something that every Boblimpdok prisoner knows. Almost everything in your environment could be a weapon. Okay? I'm going to tell you something else too. Fighting back is your only chance. If you're one of these folks who says, well, I'll just wait for them to come to my door. I'll just wait for them to come to my door. I'll just wait for them to come to my door. And if they want to give me and my kids a vaccination, well, I'll say no. But then if they say, get in the bus, I'll say yes, Gus. I'll say yes, Gus, because I said no. Here's the thing you need to understand. Solzhenitsyn understood this. If you're willing to pick up an axe and drive it through the skull of one of these SOBs that comes to your door wanting to force you, cudgel you, threaten you into getting a vaccination, by God, by common law, and by a bill of rights that is no longer recognized, you have a right to pick up a fire axe, as long as they're on your property and they're threatening you, which they're doing, and drive that fire axe through their skull. Almost anything's a weapon. If they hand you a pen to sign your name, or even a stylus to do it on their smart device, you can shove that stylus through their eye. Yeah, you might still be dead, but they'll be missing an eye. And then the next time they go to the next door, they'll shake a little. And the people that were with them will shake a little. The first person willing to act has a much higher likelihood of survival. But if you want to be like a Red Army soldier on June the 22nd, 1941, Boblimpdok, and you want to be calling up Uncle Joe to get permission to shoot at the German that just burned a village nearby, you're a freaking dumbass, and you will die. Wake up. And I don't mean get woke. Become aware. Almost anything can be a weapon. Many things can be turned into weapons. In any conflict situation, and this is what we're talking about, we're not talking about diplomacy. God bless, I wish we were there. We're not. We're way beyond that. In any conflict situation which becomes a combat situation, the first person that is willing to make a decision, even if it's a bad decision by the standards of the Green Beret, is way more frickin' likely to win. Sorry. All things being equal. And things aren't equal. They aren't. But again, folks, if you're afraid of Rambo on your doorstep, you're crazy. If they have Rambos, you know what they're doing with them right now? They're mostly around Washington, D.C. They are in siege mode. About the only place I've seen concertina wire in the last year and a half has been Washington, D.C. You ever wonder why? Oh, Dan, it's because of January the 6th. January the 6th was a frickin' joke. Get smart. Ask why. Because President Biden, who is really just a puppet, knows something that most of you don't know. He's not the president of anything anymore but a dumpster fire. And every dumpster fire decision he makes makes the dumpster fire worse. And that would have been true if it was Biden or Trump or some other dumpster fire overlord. You pick your party. Here's another thing to remember if you're going to buy a gun, okay? Most people are just not capable of getting so up to speed that they're going to be able to go for headshots. So there's a reason why in the military they teach center of mass. It's because you're more likely to hit your target. Now, if the comeback is, well, what if they're wearing armor, Dan? And I almost put this into what if they're Rambo category, because most of the meth heads who are hungry and drunk won't be wearing armor. They'll be, you know, using the armor to buy meth. Don't be stupid. But yeah, if they are wearing armor, here's an important thing. A very large caliber, even if it's flying at a slower speed, even if its velocity is slower, a very large caliber is very likely to deliver a huge amount of kinetic energy, even if you're wearing a vest. So let's say you had a 357 Magnum. A 357 Magnum, for most people, even if they're wearing a vest at close range, is probably going to be like being punched in the stomach by a professional boxer, or punched in the chest. And if you're punched in the chest hard enough, what can this do? It can actually stop your heart. And since they think about 500 million people worldwide, maybe up to a billion, are either diabetic or pre-diabetic at this point, do the math, dummy. Okay? You're looking around, you're seeing Rambos. Open your eyes. Most of the people that will come to your door will be, in all likelihood, and not because of the COVID, about 2 seconds away from death just because of their crappy lifestyle and the fact that they wear masks all the time. So it won't require a lot of effort to tip over those particular houses of cards, brothers and sisters. Once again, get past the powerlessness porn. You see, this is the thing that angers me. A lot of people on social media, some of whom I've interacted with, will push a message that if you can't be Rambo, then don't even attempt to. That is bullshit. That's 100% bullshit. The history of firearms negates that argument six ways to Sunday. The reality is this: you could be Rambo. You could be highly trained. You could be Bruce Lee. And when it comes time to kill somebody, you could be frozen. Do you understand what I just said? And this applies to everybody. It even applies to combat veterans, because they know something that I don't really know, because I've never been in combat, but definitely most of you don't know. That even combat veterans, if they get enough PTSD, if they get enough trauma, will become unable to shoot. So I don't care how well trained your opponent is. I don't care if they're Bruce Lee. If they get to your home after busting down the door and before they try to kill you start sobbing, you have an opportunity to defend yourself. Now, if you put the gun on the table and want to have a conversation with the crazy person that just blew a fuse but might be Bruce Lee, you deserve what happens to you. Time for diplomacy is over, brothers and sisters. If they're telling you they want you dead because you're unwilling to take into your body a completely illegal, a completely unsupported, a completely impossible to litigate against foreign substance, you have every right to tell them to go to hell. Sorry. And if they're using completely illogical arguments not based in any kind of science known to the human race in the last 200 years, you are doubly okay at telling them to beat bricks. And if they try to get into your home and you don't have a gun, don't give up. Don't get on the bus. If you think you're helping your kids, listen to what I'm about to say. Your children will be taken someplace where the standards are United Nations standards. What does that mean exactly? Do you know how many United Nations forces have been investigated for rape? You think you're going to be helping your kids by getting them on the bus? You will be dooming them to torture and death. So anything can be a weapon. Not all weapons are equally good. Not all people are equally skilled. And what's most important, my brothers and sisters, not all people are equally prepared to do it, including me. This is something you got to admit to yourself, and it's true every single time. Unless, of course, you're Ted Bundy or something. But if you're not Ted Bundy and you have a soul, if you're not you know, some crazy sociopathic serial killer type person, but you have a heart, you have compassion, you have kindness. Newsflash, there's a reason why most people don't want to kill, because killing is wrong. Something a lot of our quote-unquote leaders have forgotten, that murder is wrong, that first you do no harm, that conducting military psychological warfare operations against your own people, it may not technically be a war crime because we haven't declared a war technically since World War II. But it is a crime, if there were such a thing, against humanity. It is a crime against your dignity. And as a human being, if you're an atheist, you have no authority. If you're a Christian, you have one authority, and that's God. And God gives you every right to defend yourself. And if your comeback is you can't win, then you already lost. Have you been listening? If you come back in, you can't do anything. If you come back is, if you shoot 5,000 rounds to that printed gun, it'll explode. Newsflash. In the history of warfare, to include the most famous shooters ever, like Sergeant York, do you think they fired 5,000 rounds in 2 minutes? Probably not. That's what, you know, you do in video games when you have no sense of consequences. But in the real world, you try to shoot and then you try to scoot. You just don't stay in one spot firing 5,000 rounds. So if some dumbass on Twitter or Facebook posts a video of a 3D printed gun exploding after thousands of rounds, understand this. The first firearms are very dangerous. All firearms are dangerous. There's never been a time in the history of firearms, better yet, there's never been a time in the history of packing explosives into metal tubes that it wasn't dangerous. Please don't be a dummy and don't buy into their fear porn. Be safe. Learn your weapons. If you have time, do it. But you're running out of time. And I can promise you, doing nothing, accepting the porno, the powerlessness porno, as the story of your life will guarantee you die. If you do nothing, you will die. You will get destroyed in one way or another if you allow them to simply have their way. Even if they tell you it's a nice camp, it's a nice facility, there's a school. That's the same crap they always tell everybody. I don't care if it's Pol Pot talking about farming in the countryside. I don't care if it's Adolf Hitler talking about Mata frickin' Gascar. I don't care if it's Joseph Stalin talking about raising wheat in Siberia. They always tell you a story to get on the bus. But all that's waiting for you and your family is rape and torture and death. So why not stand on your feet? Even if your likelihood against the Rambo forces that were sent to your particular home is zero, better to fight. Next topic. Next topic, brothers and sisters, because I got all crazy there. I got crazy. But before I completely leave this topic, I would like to emphasize something here. I've talked about this in the past, and people will think I'm harping on it. It's very disturbing how many quote-unquote agorists and libertarians and people in the freedom movement, to include constitutionalists and sovereign citizens and any number of people who would say, I believe in freedom. It is disturbing how many of these people parrot the status fear porn. Oh my gosh, look at this video of 8 fat cops stealing a bike. Look at this video of 3 fat cops beating up an old man. Oh, I see the rubber tubing. Look at this video of some travesty, and people are just buying it hook, line, and sinker. And they're buying all the nonsense. The government can do this, and the government can do that. If the government has to tell you something, in all likelihood, it means they can't. I remember many a good soldier when I was in the Army basically reiterating a point which is generally true. Not always true, but generally true. The people that talk about being all combat and hoo-ah usually aren't. they're usually full of crap. It's why I make a point of trying to say almost every time the subject comes up, I was never in combat. So if you're going to listen to my experiences from the military, understand that. There is a significant difference between being a peacetime soldier, which again, if you believe in all that, is an honorable thing. There's a big difference between that and being a combat soldier. Big difference. It's not even a measurable linear difference. It's an order of magnitude difference. I don't understand why so many Liberty folks push this infinitely powerful, really, I'm gonna drink some more coffee here. It's this narrative of the infinitely powerful, unstoppable super cabal. The super cabal that lasts for all time. Dan, it's been around for 10,000 years. Dan, it is the Atlantean civilization. Dan, the Illuminati control everything. Now here's the thing, folks. I do believe there are crooked people. And I know that in our neo-Stalinist hellhole, crooked people with really crappy agendas rise to the top. I know this is true. But do I think they're a super powerful cabal? No, I think they're grifters and cheats. Do I think they're involved in conspiracies? Well, guess what? If you're a voter and you believe in this legal system, there's this thing called a district attorney or prosecuting attorney. In fact, almost every prosecuting attorney in some form, especially the federal prosecuting attorneys, are conspiracy theorists. They are. Look up something called RICO. Don't be dumb. Understand that there are people you're supposed to respect in this society that promote conspiracy theories all the time. They use the terms all the time. So don't be a schlub, okay? Wake up. A lot of Liberty folks push this infinitely powerful, infinitely unstoppable, historically transcendent super cabal. But if you think that liberty is superior to that type of functioning, that type of centralized, statist, disgusting, I don't care if it's hidden or not, BS, then why would you be afraid of it? Why would you push the fear of it? And better yet, why aren't you asking why they're pushing all this stupid fear? Why are they doing it? If you're strong, you don't have to. You really don't. If you're strong, you don't have to tell people if they mess around, they'll find out. They know because they talk to their cousin Katie. If you're strong, you don't have to tell people you have super weapons. They know because they talk to, you know, Muhammad in Iraq. And he told you about his town that's no longer there, because an F-15 fired its pulson cannon. He told you about a ship that melted right in front of him. It was crazy. And even that story sounds like crap, doesn't it? Our government is pushing an endless series of super state, super cabal, super biology crap that isn't even true. And then they'll push on top of it, oh my gosh, the Chinese have hypersonic weapons. The Chinese might land on the moon. That'll be the first time, right? If you're a liberty, I mean, let me back up. If you vote, if you're a Republican or Democrat, I get it. That's your paradigm. That's what you believe in. I vote, I pull the lever, it does something magical, huzzah. But if you're an agorist or an ANCAP, or if you just believe that human liberty is worth defending, why do you push the infinitely powerful, infinitely impossible to stop cabal rhetoric? Why do you push the unless you can train with 500 rounds a week rhetoric? Why do you push the rhetoric of being powerless? If you believe in individual power, if you believe the decentralized model is scientifically, factually, by nature superior, why push the opposite? You see, my theory is a lot of these folks are fakers, especially on social media. They're put there to tell you you can't do nothing. They're put there to tell you you gotta bake the cake. Remember Gary Johnson? Remember his great libertarian message from 2016? Bake the cake, baby. Okay, King Gary. Bake the cake. If you believe in super powerful cabals, then you're not a believer in freedom. You're one of two things. And these are your options. You either give in to nihilism, because that's where you're headed, and I've been there, brothers and sisters, not so much my fear of the cabal, but nihilism. So give in to it. Be a nihilist, because at that point, you really don't believe in anything, really. Or start your own infinite cabal. That's your other option. You can go and get your Gringas teams together, form your Grunkus army, get together your secret council, build your star chamber in your grandma's basement, and you can have your own trans-historical, transsexual, transcendental, transversal, translational, and transformational super cabal. You can rule over the Gringas freaks. You can have the mallet of power. You can be the chieftain of Chumptus. You can have all the cocaine. You can have all the cocaine and all the hookers from Spain. By all means, be a nihilist or form your own cabal, but please stop calling yourself somebody who believes in freedom. 1997, Bo Blimpdoc, I was at a Stinger missile gunnery range in South Korea along the coast. We had about 70 missiles that we were going to fire. What they do is they cycle out the old missiles so they can replace them with new missiles. So most of these missiles were about 5 to 10 years old. Sometimes their seals break and they go bad. We had a couple eject-onlys. That's where the ejection motor fires, but then the missile shoots out like a lawn dart. We had one catastrophic failure. Water entered every stage. The solid rocket fuel became a bomb. That eject motor, it saved the private's life because the rest of the missile became a bomb. And interestingly enough, I think the warhead didn't go off. It just got thrown way down range. The missile ejected out of the tube, it went about 30 feet, and then the whole thing exploded. The other good news about the story is we were all Mach 4. That is Mission Protection Level 4. That is nuclear, biological, and chemical warfare speak for mask, carbon suit, rubber boots, rubber gloves, the whole shebang, baby. So if you're going to lose a Stinger missile Block 2, if you're going to have a missile explode on you, it's good to be in Mach 4. We were all picking little bits of plastic out of our crap. But the eject motor worked, so the kid was protected. If that thing had cooked off in the tube, about 7 people would have died that day, probably. And if the warhead had cooked off too, maybe 30 to 40 people would have gotten injured or killed. That night, they had a private guarding the missiles before gunnery, like 60 or 70 missiles. At the time, the brand new value was probably around $300,000. The street value was $60,000 to $70,000. But the point is, you could have probably taken those missiles and sold them someplace. The private was by himself with a gun, no ammo, about 60 yards from the water. I'm telling this story because I could tell a bunch of them. I could tell you stories about stealing tanks from Yakima Training Center. I could tell you all kinds of stories about rifles, M16s, carbines, machine gun SAW, squad automatic weapons. These are 5.56 belt-fed machine guns. And M60s, quote-unquote, sarcastic quotes, going missing. And that was decades before now, brothers and sisters. And what some people have told me is that standards have not gone up since then. They've gone down. So please tell me about the Rambo Super State Green Beret Special Forces Navy SEAL Airborne Soldier Ranger Cabal that you're afraid of. Because if you are, you're afraid of nothing. You're afraid of an inflatable monster. You're afraid of an 800-pound beast that's bedridden. That's right. It's 800 pounds. But it can't even walk to the bathroom anymore. In fact, currently, it's just building up poop inside of itself. And you're afraid of it. Be afraid to be nearby it when it rolls off the bed. Be afraid to be in the room when it dies because that putrid mess is going to, you know, make a mess. But being afraid of the 800-pound bedridden beast is crazy. Don't be afraid, be smart. Understand that it's a big, dumb beast and it's dying. Next topic. Next topic, brothers and sisters. I think I'm going to start smoking cigarettes again. I've thought about this. I've meditated on it, you know, prior to 2020. Well, I basically quit in 2001. Basically, 2001. I was in a relationship, and that's often how people quit smoking, because somebody in the relationship says, "Stop it. Stop. I don't want any more of that," or something like that. And you're getting laid, so you're doing that trade-off in your head between your own dignity and your own choices and getting laid. And listen, I understand that calculus. I played that stupid game for more than a decade. I don't know if I'll ever get in a relationship again or if I want to. But I do know that if I ever do, I won't handle it that way. I won't be the person I was. If anything, I learned a great deal. I quit smoking in 2001 and mostly, not completely, but mostly for the last 20 years, I've not been smoking. Not cigarettes, at least. Every once in a while, I fall off the wagon. Every once in a while, I'll get a pack of cigarettes and go cigarette crazy for a few weeks, maybe even a couple months. But eventually, I stop, and I have. But I've decided I'm going to start smoking cigarettes again. After 2020, if anybody comes up to me with any health advice, if they talk to me about weight and food and anything, and especially if they're a voter, and doubly true if they're wearing a mask, triply true if they're wearing two masks, and quadruply true if they got the medical procedure that has been totally untested and changes your genetic structure, aka the warp speed vaccines. Screw you! You want to give me some speech on diabetes and don't drink too much beer and don't eat the wrong food? Screw you. You want to tell me not to smoke cigarettes now? Screw you. After 2020, everybody should go get a pack of cigarettes. Everybody should light up. We've basically been given a nihilistic future of scumbag neighbors who will turn their neighbors in because a pharmaceutical company wants to make $1 billion. So smoke up. Go get yourself a pack of American Spirit Orange Pack. I might after this podcast. Go grab your pack of cigarettes, pack your troubles into that cig and smoke up. Because a lot of your neighbors are slaves and they will turn you in. Even your children in many cases have been programmed to turn against you. Oh, that's pretty terrible crap. Your public schools are terrible. Your system is terrible. You live in a neo-Stalinist hellhole. Go to the store and get a pack of cigarettes and smoke up. If you're going to tell me, well, what about cancer? Screw you. The COVID nonsense, the psyop that so many of you bought into, doom people. over the last year and a half to no cancer treatment. Screw you. Screw you for a long time. If you're a family member listening to me, Daniel John Sullivan, if you're a friend listening to Daniel John Sullivan, screw you. I don't want any ambiguity. You've made a decision. You've had more than a year. Screw you. Some of you out there understand what I'm saying. I'm not actually telling you you should go smoke cigarettes. I don't think that that's actually good for you. But at this point in time, why not? All I see is madness. All I see is statistical compliance. All I see are people being told they can't do anything, and other people, especially in the liberty movement, telling them they can't do anything. Oh, but you can go buy yourself a mining kit and go mine Bitcoin. Screw you. Screw you. With what little time I have left, I love smoking cigarettes. I remember waking up in the morning, that first cig, the one before breakfast, the one after breakfast with a cup of coffee, the one in the cold when I was in the military, in the snow, the cigarette you had after that first drink at the bar, the cigarette you had on that really cool day with all your friends. It's a dopamine rush that creates a neural network. It's a perfect memory burned into your soul. It's a cigarette. It's a love affair. It's the nicotine high that gets you by. It's a cigarette. It's a cigarette. It is a kind of love. If someone comes to your door and says, "Have you been vaccinated?" you should have a cigarette in your hand. Even if you don't smoke, you should be smoking it. You should cough up into their face, "Oh, I'm going to go get vaccinated next week. Dr. Glumbolord said all the frungo freaks were going, and I'm going to go next week." If someone comes to your door to ask you who you're voting for, hand them a cigarette. Tell them to smoke up. Smoke up, buddy, before you vote. Smoke up. If you've been listening on shortwave radio, this is 5950 kilohertz. WRMI out of Miami Okeechobee from the great swamp. The swamp bees shall arise. When the swamp bees comes, it'll have 18 brides. Every bride will have two cars. Every car will have a wet bar. Every wet bar will have whiskey. All the whiskeys will be Scottish. All the Scottish whiskeys will burn your mind. You will find your way home. This is WRMI. WRMI Miami Okeechobee. 5950 kilohertz, planetary status report, every Saturday, Sunday night, from 11 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Standard Time. And you can go forth and grungulate yourselves. Go down to the 7-Eleven and get yourself a pack of cigarettes. Go get yourself a Colt 45, get yourself some malt liquor. And then you're ready for the vaccine, man. Hand them a malt liquor. Hand them a cigarette. Hand them a stick of dynamite and tell them it's over.